I have my Bible open to Luke chapter 8, and gentlemen, if you would hold the scriptures for just a second. Note the title of the sermon, Responding to God's Word. I ask you a question. How do we respond to God's holy word? How do we respond to this word when it is preached, read, or taught? Do we listen intently, calling on the Holy Spirit to make this word alive in our lives? Do we receive it as truth? Do we take God's word to heart? Do we let it get through to us and challenge us, teach us, even convict us when needed? Is it at the heart of our personality? Or do we listen half-heartedly, not really giving it serious consideration? Do we accept some parts and then explain other parts away? Do we think to ourselves when we hear a certain message, well, that might be okay for you, but I just don't see it that way? Now, as you are considering these questions, please know this. Whatever you think of this word and how you respond to this word reflects how you think about God and how you would respond to Him personally. What we do with God's word is an indicator of how we would address Jesus if He were standing right here in front of us. If we treat this word as worthless, imposing, uncomfortable, offensive in some ways, then that would be also the way we would treat Jesus Himself. So how do we respond to God's holy word? In our text today that I'm about to read to you, Jesus refers to this word as first a seed, and then He refers to it as a lamp. And He points out several things that can affect and impact how we do respond to this word. And He teaches us also how we should respond to this word when it's given to us, when we hear it. Now, if you would please join me in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Soon afterward, He went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and the people from town after town came to Him, He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed some, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As He said these things, He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when His disciples asked Him what this parable meant, He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that they, seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but then have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. As we discussed last week, Jesus is going throughout the community, the area, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And he has many followers. A great crowd has surrounded him, and they desire to hear his teaching. But there's a group there that's hearing the teaching, but are also supporters of him and his disciples. Luke mentions the women that are a part of this crowd that gathers around Jesus Christ. And here we have three women mentioned by name who support Jesus with the resources they have. And this is key, what Jesus is doing here and what Luke is doing here, mentioning these ladies. You see, women did not have a role at all in the Pharisaical religious system. More than that, women did not have much worth in this time frame in the eyes of the religious leader. But here is Jesus Christ, not only forgiving their sins and healing their diseases, but gives them recognition within the community. And again, in the first century, this was huge. This was huge. Here we have the three ladies: Mary from Magdala, who was rescued from the demons that possessed her. We have Joanna, whose husband was a top official in King Herod's court. I find this very unique. King Herod is the one that has John the Baptist in prison, and the wife of his household manager is a follower of Jesus Christ. That makes for some unique conversations, I'm sure. Then we have Susanna, and we really don't know anything about Susanna other than what she's mentioned here. These women explain how Jesus and his disciples were able to devote their entire attention to the ministry, because they had individuals like this who was given to them out of their means and providing for them in the ministry. Feminists of our time and even before often accuse the teaching of Jesus Christ for neglecting women. This is not the case. This is not the case. Here Luke tells us of the importance of and the significance of women in Jesus' ministry as his supporters. Yes, in the church today it is the same way. Men have much of the leadership role, but the women of Christianity form the very backbone and core of many of the ministries in the church today. So please, ladies, do not feel that you do not have a place in Christianity. Your place is prominent. And here we see three mentioned by name. Now, to the main point here, how do we respond to the word of God? Jesus tells a parable. Now, the word parable means to lay alongside and compare. And so what Jesus is doing is comparing the preaching of the word to a gardener sowing seeds. This is probably the most famous parable of all that Jesus has given. Jesus is, of course, the sower. The seed is the word of God. And the soil is us. We are the soil, the hearer of that word given. In our parable, we have four hearers, and each of them respond differently to the preached word. The first one is the clear cut. First one is the easiest to understand. People hear the word and immediately reject it. These people just don't see it, and they actually see it as foolishness. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Many people hear this word and reject it flatly. These are the seeds scattered along that beaten path. The second hearer is illustrated by seeds thrown among the rocks. Some will receive the word of God with joy, but it's only temporary. When affliction or persecution comes because of the word, they will fall away. The first group hears it and rejects it. This second group, they hear it, but when trials come, when persecution comes, then they turn away from this word. Now, please understand, Jesus is not teaching that you can lose your salvation here. This is not what he's saying in this parable. Because if you are truly saved, truly covered by the blood, then this will not be you. He's saying, however, that there are people who look like Christians. There are people who act like Christians. There are people who are in church today who are not Christians. And when those trials and hardships and temptations come along, they will turn away from this word. The third here is illustrated by seed scattered among the thorns. This person never actually rejects the word of God. They walk in it for a long time, but the desires, the cares, the troubles of the world begin to choke that word out. Now, these could very well be Christians here in this third category. And how many of us do not struggle with the cares and the concerns of the world? And sometimes they just become so overwhelming and overbearing, they can actually strangle that word, that living word in our lives. Some people go through the church routine their whole life, but at the end of the journey, they seem to love the world more than they do Jesus Christ. Seeds among the thorns. The fourth hearer is pictured as seed scattered in good soil. This person grows. This person yields a crop 100-fold. This is the redeemed Christian who's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is working in their lives to produce that good fruit that Jesus is talking about here. Their hearts are fertile soil where the Holy Spirit can dig in and plant those seeds of righteousness, plant those seeds of growth, and the person grows into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's why we're here. That's why we're here, is to grow up into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. Four responses we have here to the word of God, and only one of them produces fruit. The whole purpose of sowing the seed is producing fruit. The whole purpose of preaching here is to produce fruit. The whole purpose of teaching the Bible in Sunday school is to produce fruit. The whole purpose of being here in church is to grow into the likeness of Christ and produce that fruit that bears up under the lights, bears that fruit of righteousness. You see, good soil will produce a better crop. Many gardeners in this room, I'm preaching to the choir. In a parable, Jesus said, some fell into good soil and it grew and it yielded 100-fold. Or our lives producing 100-fold. What sort of soil is in your heart? Good or poor? And you'll know which soil you are by the way you respond to this word. If you hear, understand, obey it, with the Spirit's help, of course, then you will produce that good crop of righteousness that Jesus is looking for. And so again, I ask you, how do you respond to the teaching and the preaching of the word? Now, while this parable is relatively easy to understand when compared to other parables, I ask the question, why didn't Jesus just make his point simply? Why did he do it in parables? Two reasons. One, parable was a style of teaching in that day. It was just a common style of teaching. But here, because the message is so important, why did he not just clearly state what his point was? Well, Jesus answers that question in verse 10, and it is a very challenging answer. Verse 9 and 10, when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that they, seeing, may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. As I said, a very challenging statement with what Jesus is saying. The disciples were given the secrets of the kingdom. They were learning through Jesus' teaching. But for others, Jesus uses parables so that they would not understand. There are those who have not and will not be given the ability to understand the ways of God in the kingdom. Very sobering thought. Very sobering thought. Mark, in his writing of this parable, makes it even more distinct. So that they would not believe. He preached in parables so that they would not believe. Very challenging, sad but true. Jesus goes on, continues speaking of the word and what we are to do with it, and he changes the analogy to that of a lamp. And a lamp, to be useful, must not be hidden. Homes in the first century were lit by lamps, and that lamp would be set in the middle of the room on a stand, or be carried from place to place if working in the house. And sitting on the stand, it could light the entire room. And from any place in the room, you could see the light of the lamp. This is what Jesus is saying that we are to do with the word of God. Take it in. Be that good soil that produces a crop hundredfold. And be that lamp that sits out in the middle of the room, if you will, producing a crop a hundredfold for everyone to see. For everyone to see. For everyone to see. And that is what God's word does in our life. It brings us out of darkness. It discloses our infirmities. It discloses our illnesses. It uncovers our sin. And it is a mature Christian that desires that light to be that penetrating factor and uncover. To uncover all the needs to be revealed so that we can grow in the righteousness of Christ. Verse 18, Jesus says, "Take care how you hear." Take care how you hear. It's incumbent upon me, a preacher, to be careful what I preach. And we've got session members out here listening. And if I get off track, but it's incumbent upon me to be careful what I preach. But as we sit and listen to the preaching, it's incumbent upon you, the hearer, to take care how you hear. And then what you do with what you hear. For the one who is good soil, it will produce good fruit and will be blessed abundantly. For the one who has and is obedient will be blessed abundantly. But the one who does not hear, the one who is not a good hearer, if you will, the one who does not have that good soil, what he has will be taken away from him. Being good hearers and good doers of the word brings us into the family of God, and that's where Jesus goes next. Here in verse 19, we see that Jesus' mother and brothers are standing outside trying to get to him, but the crowds are so large they can't get in, so word is passed to him that your mom and your brothers and sisters are outside. And he makes this statement, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now, please don't hear this as a rejection of his family as I've heard it preached. He's not doing that. What he is doing is bringing his brothers and sisters around him who are doers of the word and obedient to that word on the same level as his family. And so he considers the one who does the word and is obedient as a brother or a sister, just as he would a biological brother or a sister. So as we are good soil, or as we are listening and good hearers of that word, we are in and considered part of the family of God. We are part of the family of God. So back to our question. How do we respond to the word of God when preached, taught, read? Are we the worn path where nothing grows? Are we the rocks that we hear the word and we take it in, but it just withers away? It has no place in our lives. It dies. Are we among the thorns where the cares of this world choke out the word of God? I think it would be easy for many of us to be in that category. Or are we the good soil, producing that bumper crop, producing that fruit that brings glory to the Father? Do we let this word shine out in our lives as a lamp in a dark room? Do the people that you work with, the people you go to school with, do they know you're Christian? Do you conduct yourself there in a way that would reveal plainly, clearly, as a light shining, that you're a Christian? Or when we leave this place, do we take that word and we kind of hide it, kind of embarrassed by this whole fanatical stuff? You know, we're not really into all that. What do we do with it? How do we respond? How do we take it out into the world? How does it reflect out of our lives? I pray that we are good soil, every one of us in this room. And I pray the Holy Spirit has ample space and time and effort and work in your heart so that that good fruit can be produced. I pray that we are the brightest shining lamps in our community, in our workplace, in our homes, in our schools. And a side note, please. Speaking of our schools, please pray for our school systems. I spoke to two teachers this week who are absolutely overwhelmed at the things going on. It's incredible. Pray for our schools. How do we respond to the Word of God? You will know, because a tree will be known by its fruit. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I do pray for our schools, Lord, and those two teachers I spoke to this week. Bless them, give them strength, protect them. Satan is roaming about seeking to whom he may devour. Protect them, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and work in our hearts that we might be that good soil and producing the good fruit, that we would be those bright shining lamps in our homes and our communities, that we would reflect the Word of God clearly and distinctly, and the people would know that our Lord is named Jesus and we are that worshiper of Jesus Christ. Help us in all these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen.